Yeah, we're about 60 degrees. Just beautiful. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend there, too. Hey, Mr. Outdoors standing by here. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty well. We're going to be on in a couple of minutes here. And anything that maybe just a little taste of where we could be going here the next few weeks, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, since Bobby just said it, what he did not say, though, is when you're listening to those highs, what we're looking at for an average high at this time of the year, 74. So realistically, slightly above average and then right about where we should be with maybe a slightly below average day at 69. So all in all, great seasonal weather for the weekend.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into it and also the weekends ahead, especially Boatnik and beyond here in a couple of minutes. Mr. Outdoors will be back here in just a moment. And I got an email here. And by the way, have you ever been to the Safety and Preparedness Fair, Greg? Have you ever been there for that?
You know what? Actually, it's kind of odd. No, I haven't been to the version of it that they're doing now. But when I was with Fire District 5 and they had Walmart and Talent, we would do safety. We wouldn't call it awareness, but we would do safety, presentations at the Walmart and Talent.
Yeah.
And that would include, you know, all kinds of things.
All right. Well, Paul Princeton sent me an email about this. Okay. Well, Paul Princeton, you know, we all know and love Paul. He sent me this. He says, Bill, I haven't heard or seen any announcements about this renamed Safety and Preparedness Fair. And I just wanted to make sure people knew about this because it looks pretty cool. It's going to be tomorrow at Pear Blossom Park in Medford from 11 till 3. You go to medfordoregon.gov/safety fair. And I know that the amateur radio folks, what does he say here? Jackson County Amateur Radio Emergency Service is also part of this, will be taking part in it. And it's like, preparing for wildfires and earthquakes and floods. And they have a drone demo tomorrow. That ought to be pretty interesting just to see the drones. Those are pretty cool these days. And
yeah.
Hands-only CPR workshop. They also have a demo with the canines at noon, a fire extinguisher workshop, hands-only CPR workshop again, vehicle extraction, and all sorts of stuff. So that's going to be going on Pear Blossom Park tomorrow, 11 to 3, and might be worth dropping in there. Fire extinguisher workshop. I wonder what that would be about, given that you've been in fire.
Well, and I've done a lot of those. What that actually is, they're going to demonstrate how you properly use a fire extinguisher.
Oh.
Because there is definitely a technique to doing it that if you practice at it, you get good at it. Even those smaller fire extinguishers can make a big impact when properly used.
Okay. Before we take the break, then we'll be right back with more from the Outdoor Report here that you're going to put on your outdoor hat. How long can you use old fire extinguishers? Because I have like four or five fire extinguishers that I have in the trunk. I was going to take them to some service and see what could be done. But you remember when we were decommissioning the old AM-1440, we had these old fire extinguishers there. They still seem to work, you know, they're still held their charge and such. But is there a certain time in which you just can't use them anymore? Do you remember?
It's going to vary greatly depending on what type of extinguisher it is, but realistically, you know, the smaller ones that they sell for quote unquote home use, those smaller ones, I would say if it's older than 5 years, get rid of it and get another one.
Okay, because I have like literally four or five 45-year-old fire extinguishers that were out there at that site. And it's like, I didn't want to just throw them away. I mean, what? Do I take them to a flea market and say they're collector's items? What? You know?
Well, people collect everything out there. There might be collectors for that. But, you know, again, mostly being a firefighter, what I dealt with was those extinguishers in commercial buildings or public spaces, the ones that definitely have to be inspected and certified ready to go at a minimum once a year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on. You'll give us the rest of it coming up. All right. So I just had to ask it because I'm looking at these things. They look great. They're nice and shiny and red. And one of them was filled with carbon dioxide and you could make snow with it, you know, when you'd sit there and go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and that's what I mean. There's all kinds of different fire extinguishers that use all kinds of different agents, which will have some impact on, you know, the duration of time in which they will be useful.
All right.
A better way to put it.
All right, well, stand by. We'll get your outdoor take on things in just a moment on KMED and KCMD.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner? Here's five good reasons. One, I've worked on the people's side of government over 20 years, defending our property rights, our liberties, and our freedoms from government overreach and intrusion. Two, because when you elect me, you'll get a man of integrity who will honestly listen and hear your concerns. I will never forget I work for and serve the people. Three, I'm a team player on the people's team. I'm not a politician. I'm just like you, believing in lower taxes, financial responsible, and transparent government. Four, I have no hidden agendas. I will openly work to see the people's will expressed through county government to be your voice inside government. Five, as a conservative, I am done letting politicians waste our tax dollars on nonsense while we're robbed by drifters, choked by smoke, and gouged by outrageous housing costs. Learn more at VoteRonSmith.com. Paid for by citizens to elect Ron Smith commissioner.
One of each, Forte VIN, 785-766, MSRP 21645, 3500 due, Sol VIN, 237299, MSRP 22140, 3500 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt, negative equity applied to new loan balance, in 6224.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade-in, no matter the make, model, or mileage. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find a Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice. Just $149 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
If you're looking to be more efficient and functional on a job site, release the hounds. Two Dogs Fabricating is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star flatbed dealer. And if they don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will build one made to your exact specifications. Plus, come kick the tires on a great selection of heavy-duty Delco trailers and North Star-made Iron Bull trailers in multiple lengths with dump and tilt options. Two Dogs has light-duty North Star trailers, too. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Two Dogs, by the way, I also understand repairs those broken hitches, too. It's something they're big on, okay? Now then, the Outdoor Report continues. Mr. Outdoors is here, Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford, helping you out with those toys and so much more. So, you said that we're really going to be getting back to normal temperatures. In fact, maybe even a little bit below normal. So that will help the weeds in my lawn grow more slowly, Mr. Outdoors. So I'm happy to hear that a little bit. Okay.
Well, actually reverse.
Really?
Because grass tends to grow best when you've got cooler conditions with some dampness. It truly does not like heat and dry.
Okay.
You know, because, again, even if you look at the wildland situation, grass is pretty typically, I'm going to call it a five-hour fuel, meaning it will only take 5 hours of curing with sunlight, heat, and low humidity before it's ready to burn.
Well, all I was getting at,
flashy fuels.
Okay, well.
So the same thing is true about the grass that is growing in your yard that you're, you know, trying to cultivate and turn into a beautiful lawn, you know, it will do better when it's cooler and wetter. And that really triggers, you know, a profusion of growth out of grass.
So, all right. Well, I'm talking about the weeds. And the
the weeds and weeds, by and large, will adapt and be the same way that grass is.
Oh, okay, because I ended up buying a bag of
weeds we have here.
Okay, I bought a bag of weed and feed the other day.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I'm looking at my lawn, which I've thought about just killing and starting again. I've been talking about this for how many years now, right?
you have.
But it's like there are so many other things to do in the world right now that I just haven't gotten around to this. So I'm thinking, all right, do I put the weed and feed on it? And if I'm looking at it, and if I put the weed and feed on it, there'll be no lawn left. There'll be just a few patches of grass, and then if the weeds are actually gone. So I don't know, you know, where. But that's my problem, not your problem, all right?
Right, and, you know, honestly, I have seen quite a few people do that. My grandfather started with the best of intentions with his yard, and what he actually wound up getting was a collection of, I believe, just right off the top of my head, seven different types of grasses / weeds that kind of co-combined to create his yard or his lawn.
Yeah.
And what was so funny was there were a couple varieties of things growing in his yard that, well, you would get this blotchy look with his yard because he would have these grasses that and / weeds that would be dormant when the other stuff was growing pretty well. And it always aggravated him. And I said, you know, the only way you're ever going to get rid of that is to just get rid of it all, get down to base soil and start all over again and throw sod down or reseed it.
Yeah, I think that's what the end of my summer.
I don't want to do that.
I think that's what the end of my summer is going to be looking like, though, all right? So,
yeah.
Hey, Greg, why don't we go into where you might want to go for some fun over these next few days, since temperatures are going to be moderating. Good fishing time, good fishing or camping. Where would you go at this point, Tom?
See, that's the beautiful part about a forecast like this, you know, for the coming weekend, because it's going to be a great weekend to be in the outdoors. I mean, let's think about it. We're talking about below average temperatures, but even then, the coldest temperature day that I see coming up, 69 degrees.
That's beautiful.
Not that long ago, 69 degrees was a pretty warm day, and people were really enjoying it. So still, when you're in the 70s, when we're just at an average for the time of the year high right now, which is today is 74 in Medford, but through this weekend and the first part of next week, for sure is mid-70s, I think everybody would say, that's a great day. Let's go out and fully enjoy it. There's no chance of rain. It might be a little cool in the mornings, especially up at elevation if you decide to go to the mountains, because across the board, trout fishing is really good right now, and that's, you know, again, that's just the time of the year that we're in. The fish have awakened from, you know, the winter slumber, and they're actively feeding. ODF&W is actively stocking fish all over Jackson and Josephine counties, so fishing is going to be a great choice. But again, this is what I call full potential weekend in the outdoors, because there really isn't anything I can think of and go, no, that probably isn't going to be the greatest amount of fun. Honestly, the only thing I could think of,
yeah,
it won't matter anyway because that season's over, and that would be skiing, snowboarding, cross-country skiing, snowmobiling, that type of thing.
How much snow is left on the higher peaks right now? Is it still looking good?
There is actually a very good deal of snow left. And again, we had that winter storm come in here at the beginning of the month that dropped even more snow. I'm not seeing daily snow reports from Crater Lake National Park anymore. The last time I did, it was above average by about 10 inches for where they should be for the time of the year. The other thing that I do not understand what happened, but the water conservation, the federal group, Bureau of Reclamation, it's a kind of a pool of numbers, they are no longer reporting in an accessible form for the public where we're standing by percentage for snow water content. And I do not know why that changed.
But still, enjoy the next few days. It's going to be a gift. And it looks like it's going to be this way through Boatneck weekend. Would that be fair? Memorial Day?
Again, you did look, there was some long-range information earlier in the month made it look like Boatnik was going to be sunny and hot. Now it looks like Boatnik is going to be sunny and temps pretty much right dead on where they should be for the end of May. So, again, we're probably mid to upper 70s the way it looks for Memorial Day weekend. Then the next warm-up I see coming for us is actually going to be after Memorial Day weekend, and it looks like we're going to be making another run back up into the mid to upper 80s once we get through Memorial Day weekend.
All right, very good. All right, hey, Greg, I appreciate that. I think I had Rick from Medford call during the break, and we were talking about the fire extinguishers and how I had these old fire extinguishers. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do with them? He was wondering where you go to actually get those disposed, because if you have an old fire extinguisher, they won't take them at the hazardous waste kind of places. Do you know? What'd you do with those?
Yeah, no, and there is a company here in town still doing fire extinguisher servicing. They used to be right there on McAndrews for mm-hmm. years near the Santos Center firefighter, and then they moved, and there is still a company here, and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but there is a company that does that will take in your old fire extinguishers for proper disposal.
All right. Well, I'll try to get it. I'll try to find out who that is, because I might just do that with some of my vintage fire extinguishers. But a lot of people, yeah, they sit around if you can't really use them and you need to get something a little bit newer. Great.
Right.
Now, the one thing I do have is that I have one old extinguisher which has Halon. And Halon, that you're supposed to use that on super delicate electronics, and that stuff is expensive. They really,
yes, it is.
They'll recycle
it's also,
that. You know,
it is definitely something that you're looking at using only in an enclosed space environment.
Yeah.
Halon, actually, where it still has its most common use as a fire extinguisher, is in the military.
Oh, really? I thought it was the data centers that they would use them to with the computers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but Halon's also, it's considered a high-risk gas now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm kind of shocked there's even Halon still available to the public, because I know they were working to find another suitable agent for extinguishing basically electrical fires.
Yeah, that was what it was for. And that's why I think it was at a transmitter site specifically designed for electrical fires, which is, yeah, what you'd be fighting, you know, that kind of thing. All right, Mr. Outdoors.
Very enclosed environment, too.
Yeah, it can kill you. You have to be careful about that kind of stuff. 726, and we got a couple of calls standing by. One of them from area code 703. I hope it's because it's not a guest I screwed up on. Hi, caller. Who's this? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. This is Tracy, your listener, normally down in California.
Oh, Northern California. I thought you were from D.C. or something. Go ahead.
No, but today I'm actually up in the north of Seattle here. So yesterday I flew over your area at about 30,000 feet and looked down upon the Rogue Valley and saw a number of prescribed burns, none showing up in the NC website. The big one was above Ashland, just a decent-sized burn. Is that I assume that's prescribed?
Yep. You're right. InsiWeb does not typically list prescribed burns. And, sometimes you have to go digging to find that. But here locally, I know exactly where to go to find the prescribed burns, what's scheduled to be burned, and what the current burns are. And that's included within part of the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest website. The harder one for me is when Oregon Department of Forestry is working with a private landowner on doing a burn. They sometimes don't really push a lot of information about those things out, so you have to go do direct sleuthing, which is what I did yesterday. But that burn above Ashland is actually a burn they wanted to do, Horn Gap, I think it was 3 years ago. But, sometimes they run into issues that most people wouldn't think of, and one of it is having certified burn bosses available, having the right resources available. And this year, because of very mild conditions so far, not creating a big drain on firefighting resources. We're able to do the burns here locally we wanted to do. We've got three Type 1 hotshot crews here doing them. We've got a number of engines. They're fully staffed, and the burns are set up. So they're executing them in good order and actually getting caught up on some burns they've been wanting to do for a while. So that's what you witnessed out of the aircraft yesterday. But, yeah, all of those, if you know where to find it on the Rogue River Siskiyou website, you will see the complete breakdown of the fires, where they are, how big they're going to be, and also, which is pretty critical, how many tons per acre of fuel load is on these burns that they're doing. And that will also, especially for a guy like me who used to be a burn boss and did these things, will tell me how much smoke these things will probably be producing.
All right, very good. Hey, Terry, appreciate the call there. Let me go to line four. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Greg, both of you guys. This is Sherm. Yes, Greg, I'm an ex-firefighter from Fire District 3. I'm also an educator. So I started teaching up out of Seattle at Snoqualmie North Bend.
Yeah.
Well, I discovered that students didn't know how to use a fire extinguisher. They never used one. So right up the road, Greg, was the Washington State Fire Training Academy, 5 miles up Interstate 90. So I started taking the students up there for PE hiking. And up there, they got to use a fire extinguisher. They learned how to use it. Up there where Boeing trains their people, putting out aircraft.
Pretty darn cool. That's a cool way to train it. Well, you know something, Sherm? They're going to be doing that at Pear Blossom Park tomorrow. And I wanted to make sure that people mention this. This is the emergency preparedness deal. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Pear Blossom Park, they have the fire extinguisher workshop. They also have hands-only CPR, which is something which is really good to know, too, and a bunch of other things going on. Okay? All right?
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, Bill, I'm going to call in. I went to the meeting last night at the Jackson County Auditorium on the water resources.
I would like to hear more about that. I would like to hear more about that, Sherm. If you can give me a call in about an hour, okay? Can we do that about
I'll do that.
About an hour, and the last half hour will be an open phone time. And I would definitely like to hear more about that. Thank you, Sherm. And Mr. Outdoors, thank you. And we'll talk next Friday, okay?
One other thing I almost forgot to mention. Bear Camp Road is open. That is actually slightly ahead of schedule. Normally they try to get it open right ahead of Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. This year we're about a week ahead of schedule.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Greg.
You got it, Bill.
See you next Friday. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Outdoor Report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
We're asking people how they'll vote for state senate.
I'm voting for Diane Lithicum.
Diane Lithicum.
Diane Lithicum. She's endorsed by Oregon Firearms Federation.
I'm voting for Diane Lithicum.
Diane Lithicum. She's endorsed by Oregon Right to Life.
We need Diane Lithicum in the state senate.
She's honest and she's fiscally responsible.
Diane Lithicum.
Diane Lithicum. She's pro-life.
I'm voting for Diane Lithicum because she supports parental rights.
The choice is clear. Diane Lithicum for state senate.
Hey, Diane Lithicum for Oregon.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is growing. Drake's is excited to announce a new store opening soon in South Medford that will offer the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer in North Medford, Grants Pass, and soon to be open in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh, yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Ran a little long on the outdoors and the fire extinguisher talk and all the rest of it. Kind of funny. Bob Shan pops me an email, and he's saying that, you know, there's this project in which you can turn a fire extinguisher into a flamethrower. Now, hey, that would be fun in the neighborhood, wouldn't it? Here we go, kiddies. I might have to do that sometime, Bob. But I appreciate, probably not right now, not this weekend. I'm going to be safety first, okay? It's 7:35. Standing by is State Senator Brian Boqvist. He is running for state treasurer, and I am scared. I'm very scared. No, I'm not scared, but he's a different kind of cat. And I think we'll have a good conversation about what's going on, maybe the political situation as we see it. He does tend to get elected in Democrat districts as a Republican, which is why he is so deeply, deeply hated. And maybe we'll find out what that secret sauce is coming up.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. There are about 1 million power outages as well as fatalities from powerful thunderstorms that hit Houston yesterday. Winds gusting up to 100 miles per hour. Houston's fire chief says at least 4 people were killed. Schools are closed today. Houston's mayor urging people to stay home and off the roads. Couple of Republican-led House committees voting to advance contempt proceedings against Attorney General Merrick Garland, stemming from his refusal to turn over audio recordings of President Biden's interview with special counsel Robert Hur. French police shot and killed an armed man suspected of setting fire to a synagogue, resulting in significant damage to the building. And Russian authorities report a huge Ukraine drone attack on Crimea, causing power outages and setting a refinery on fire. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. This is SRN News.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. We've helped over 30,000 families out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. If your timeshare agreement goes on forever, if you were told timeshares are a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, you have questions, we have the answers. At Wesley Financial Group, we're dedicated to helping timeshare owners get out of their financial nightmare. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call now for your free timeshare exit information kit. 800-256-5533. That's 800-256-5533. 800-256-5533.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Through May, receive a $110 Visa prepaid card with the purchase of four Continental Extreme Contact Sport O2 tires. Extreme Contact Sport O2 is a dynamic summer ultra-high-performance tire for passenger cars. Ideal for both street and track, and when you purchase using your Tire Pros or Continental credit card, you get another $90. That's up to a $200 total. Call or stop by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros for details.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
A Southern Oregon tradition like no other.
The City of Central Point Wild Road Pro Rodeo, presented by Rogue Regency Inn and Suites.
On May 16th, 17th, and 18th, many of the nation's top 20 cowboys, cowgirls, and national finals rodeo stock are coming to the home of the only 100-point bull ride for this national finals qualifying event.
Barrels, bareback, broncs, tie-down roping, team roping, and, of course, bulls.
Enjoy the Cowboy Marketplace Friday and Saturday with Western merchandise, food trucks, and the Rogue Saloon.
So ride on down to the Expo in Central Point, May 16th, 17th, and 18th for the best Wild Rogue Pro Rodeo to date.
Starting at just $25. Get your tickets online at theexpo.com.
And general admission tickets with free Kids Thursday tickets at your local Bi-Mart.
The Wild Rogue Pro Rodeo is sponsored by Bi-Mart, Lifer Excavation, Better Built Construction, KTVL 10, and Your Town, Your Country, Q100.3.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
20 before 8, and we're just going to mosey over to the political bar, over to State Senate District 12, where Senator Brian Boqvist is residing in his bunker, and he comes out every now and then to play, and we appreciate you being on. Senator, welcome to the show. I've never had the pleasure, and I've got my finger on the dump button, but please don't make me use it too much, okay?
Well, you know, at our age, arthritis is a serious problem, so using that button might be a good thing. Good to be on your show.
Okay. In all seriousness, though, Brian, you're going to be running. Well, you are running for state treasurer. And you, of course, were taken out from Measure 113. And did you ever have any questions about whether there was really any Republican opposition to Measure 113? Because I never saw anything in any of the voters' pamphlets anywhere, any place, you know, about that. And I was kind of surprised, given that the attack from 113 was on Republican Party members. What's your take on that overall?
Well, I think, as usual, I mean, people jump up and down about the Republican Party doing XYZ and caucuses doing XYZ. And I think everybody assumes somebody else is going to stick something in a voter's pamphlet. And you know what happens when you assume? No, see, you don't have to hit the button right now. But I think everybody assumed that other people were going to put stuff in the voter's pamphlet and take a position. And nobody did. And that I'm at fault for that, too. So I think that's how it came out of the situation. And I think voters thought that, you know, if you come and read this thing, it says 2/3 vote. Well, this will be fair. And, of course, that's nothing's fair when the Democrats control the courts.
Okay, yeah. Well, and they control practically every other institution in the state of Oregon here, too. So is this a serious run for state treasurer, or is this just a na-na-na-na-na, you can't make me not run for something, you know, after that?
Well, as you point out, we're in the combat season of primaries. I'm, of course, not in a primary, so I'm sort of watching from the bunker, as you pointed out. And I have to point out to you, bunker mentality is a good thing. Joe Biden was elected president out of the bunker, okay, so in his basement.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, it's a serious run. There is a way to win statewide. There's a plan to win statewide. And, frankly, generally speaking, we're never very far off. I mean, the notion of, quote, Republicans who are going to elect anybody when they're only 24% of the voter registration and 24% don't vote, means you have to have a different strategy to win. Doesn't mean Democrat strategy. It means you have to have a different strategy, and you got to get those voters in the middle. And that's perfectly capable for any candidate who learns when to talk and when not to talk.
Okay. And you apparently know when to talk and when not to talk then, right? Fair enough.
I believe the attorney general in court said I'm the most quotable state senator on record. So, yeah, I do know when to talk.
Okay. To be state treasurer, what is the actual job of a state treasurer before we start getting into some other politics? It's kind of like secretary of state. Most people really don't know. Yeah, you're thinking treasurer, okay, you're writing the checks. Is that all there is to it, or is there a bit more to it, and why is it so important?
Well, actually, there's a lot more to it, and you're not necessarily the one to writing the checks. You're sort of the comptroller, so to speak, in terms of the first priority is you're the ones that hold the bank accounts or arrange the bank accounts for all agencies. So you're supposed to have your finger on the pulse of where all the money is going back and forth. That's sort of step one, sort of like a bookkeeper, you could say. Step two, let me go back to step one, though. If the treasurer's doing the right thing, you can find out where there's money. A few sessions are right after the big crash. Several of us were able to get, with the help of the treasurer then, not the present treasurers, we were able to locate $5 billion in excess funds to put into the state budget. Now, $5 billion, that's B with a billion, right? Just sitting around that wasn't being used, okay? So that's the first sort of thing with the treasurer. The one everybody's famous for is he's the investment officer. He's the one that works with the fiduciaries for the investment of PERS accounts. And as you know, our PERS accounts are $28 billion upside down. And of course, when we see the next normal crash of 20 to 50%, we'll be $50 billion down. And really the only way to bail that out is to raise taxes. So that's another responsibility that the treasurer has, and we're failing in that area. The rates of return are, you know, half of what you'd get in your private one. And then the third function is those functions like the land board, in which you can control land use decisions through the land board and, of course, the common school fund. So there's a lot of responsibilities. If we simply had one person, just one on the land board, and a decent attorney general, we could reverse a lot of the nonsense that state government does.
Who do you like as attorney general?
Will Lathrop's a good man.
And
you jump out here and say, well, kind of the reason I'm on your show or said, yeah, I'll come on your show, because, again, I'm in bunker mentality, is that it's where it get out the vote. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. has a ballot on their kitchen table. People need to vote immediately. If they can't make it in because they're, you know, the conspiracy types from yesterday, Conspiracy Thursday, I listened to you, then what they need to do is get their ballot out. And you got people like Lathrop, Linthicum, Robinson, all great candidates. But if you don't vote, you can't pitch a complaint. I wasn't going to use that other word.
Okay. I really appreciate that. State Senator Brian Boqvist, who is running for state treasurer. Now, what you have a business administration background, right? So you're perfectly overqualified then to be a state treasurer. Fair enough?
Well, yes, fair enough. Yeah, I have to remember, unfortunately, I'm a career citizen legislator, you know, so I'm a, quote, an evil career politician. But most of my time has been on the Revenue and the Rules Committee in the House and the Senate. And, of course, they're the oversight of the treasurer, of the PERS accounts, of the Oregon Investment Council, so on and so forth. So I have a, you know, in-depth background in this particular arena in searching out qualified candidates to try and get on the Oregon Investment Council. Since the Democrats nominate everybody, you got to check and vet these people, right?
Right.
And, yes, my background is international business. I have a master's in business administration. I have a BS degree, so I fit into the BS, too. So.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have the BS degree. I like that. I like that part. You're very well, you just turn the microphone on and then there you are. It works, Brian. It really does. But I mean that in a complimentary way, okay? In all seriousness, so this is fine. This is the battle where we find ourselves. You've talked about the people you need to vote for, and they're the same people that I've been voting for, too. So this works out really well. Where has the Republican caucus and or lobbies, where have we gone wrong over the last few years? I know where I'm thinking, but I'd like to hear your opinion as a state senator.
Well, I think it's not the last few years. It's the last two decades. I mean, let's look at the Trump movement, so to say, or the MAGA movement. If you really look at that movement, it's people are tired of the swamp, the uniparty in Washington, D.C. And as I pointed out, you can get elected to statewide office And it's not that difficult. The problem is when Washington, D.C. opens its mouth with the Uniparty and Salem opens its mouth with the Uniparty, you lose votes all the way across the board. And, of course, one has to remember, I mean, I've rarely ever seen a Republican Party official in the Oregon State Capitol or a Democrat Party official. These caucuses are all about getting elected. And you get elected either by telling the truth and being straightforward and spending no money. That's been me. Or you have to become a corporate shill, and that's them.
Mm. And corporate shills seem to be winning the day at the moment, at least with the fundraising, right?
Well, in fundraising, that's absolutely correct. I mean, the corporations buy, you know, they fund candidates. Well, actually, it's kind of almost, it would be called racketeering if it wasn't politics. As you know, they go out and recruit a candidate. They're just corporations and their lobbyists, and then they raise the money that's donated to the candidate, and then they provide the campaign services and make a profit out of it, and then they put them in the legislature or the Congress. Mm-hmm. And once they're in the legislature or the Congress, then they're pretty well owned if they want to get reelected. And, of course, the next thing is that it's pretty easy to hoodwink legislators and congressmen because they just don't pay. They're more interested in, quote, being there and being an important person than serving, in which they actually do their research. Because a lot of times you vote no simply because the bill came out of committee. We've seen this 2,000 pages long. You don't know what's in it. And why would you vote for something that your constituents don't know?
All right. So is voting no a good strategy? Because I've had people arguing with me, even some folks in Grants Pass, I think, were on my social media last night. It's like, you know, boy, I love hearing you talk about how, you know, you seem to know more than Kim Wallen and Emily McIntyre and, you know, naming off a whole bunch of people who are pretty much what I would say are the standard operating procedure of the way we run state legislators. How can you be effective being a no vote and being an opposition, in truly an opposition, Brian? What would you say?
Well, I would say you're elected to represent this notion, oh, it's a job. We're part-time legislators. We don't make minimum wage. We're here to represent constituents. And constituents expect that if we vote yes or no, we know what we're doing. And if you don't know what a bill does or it has negative consequences, then you should vote no. I find it kind of ironic. I mean, you talk about, how did we get House Bill 2002, which is child mutilation, basically genocide in most countries of the world, if not listed as murder? And how did the Republicans participate in this, in which, you know, I will tell you, history tells us future prosecutors are going to come back and address this pretty harshly for the people who are involved in this. So, and no votes. I mean, you look at CPAC. Everybody talks about, well, I'm conservative because I got 27, you know, votes or no votes approved by CPAC. What is 27 votes? I mean, and yes or no. So somebody in Washington, D.C. told you what to do. This deal about just voting no is the same as what happened during the Holocaust, in which, oh, I was just following orders. I've seen it, that argument made on the floor of the Senate, supported by Republicans and Democrats, in saying, oh, we have to protect everybody because they're just following orders, when we're talking about crimes.
Mm-hmm. State Senator Brian Boquist here. And this is going back to the reasons why you and nine other senators denied quorum. This was an honorable way to call a timeout on a pretty bloodthirsty bill. What happened? Why did we get House Bill 2002 after all of that, drama?
But because there's really no unified caucuses. That's the bottom line here. It's that everybody, once people start sleeping with the enemy, they decide that, you know, well, we can sort of compromise with them. We can sort of do this. And you come up with these bizarre statements, which I've seen in a flyer recently that says, well, I can get the conservative agenda passed by working with Democrats. Excuse me?
I mean, that's high comedy. That's high comedy, Senator.
You know, and so is House Bill 2002 better than it was? Yes, that's right. It's sort of like, you know, if you want to be nice about the whole thing here, it's the difference between buying an old, you know, an Edsel or one of these cars that crashes and burns and buying a good car. Or in reality, it's the difference between are you supporting, you know, which side of the war and people are actually dying.
State Senator Brian Boquist, I want to shift gears here. I have heard some rumors. Some people have let me know that you are ready to get involved in a possible legal dispute over what's been going on in this primary election. Is anything you feel comfortable discussing?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I was subject to a hit piece you know, down in your area, and I'm sitting right in front of me here, and I'm prominently displayed in the upper right-hand corner and somehow associated with tax evasion, which is fraud. And I mean, the flyer itself is false. And I'll just back that up right now. I mean, it says, you know, I'm somehow associated with, you know, income tax evasion of another person. And I physically, personally reached out to the Oregon Department of Revenue, since this is a public statement, and they say it's not correct. It's not true. I mean, the court's records say there's no lawsuit.
You're referencing the Noah. Is this the Noah Robinson hit piece that came out?
This is the Noah Robinson hit piece in which I'm prominently displayed. Your viewers can see it. I'm sure they got it in your mailbox. I'm in the upper right-hand corner. It impacts my candidacy as a state treasurer, and it's an in-kind donation to the Goodwin campaign, and in which the law is very clear, the candidate's responsible for that. That doesn't matter even if they knew or didn't know. But there's a whole list of things on here. I mean, it starts out with caucus stuff, which is funny. I'm looking across my kitchen cabinet table here, and I can see 2 weeks ago a photograph of a Republican caucus event in which Goodwin and Robinson are both attending. So it's like, and then it goes on with other stuff that's simply false. So the options are either, this is not an elections complaint to the Secretary of State particularly. The process for that is you have to file a civil lawsuit, which we are looking into. Now, this particular flyer also contains a whole series of election complaints that either at the state or federal level, which we're looking into as well. And I can assure your voters, unlike everybody else, I don't have any problem filing those complaints.
All right. So I guess stay tuned is what you're warning me. I mean, it's not going to change much, though, between now and Tuesday, though, will it?
No. Well, it won't change much between now and Tuesday, but it will change a lot if these allegations. I mean, I didn't get involved in this until the middle of last week. And, of course, now I'm looking at articles, other court filings, Secretary of State records, federal records, and, you know, this is one of those things that's not going away right after the election. So it will have an impact on the election. And most importantly, one of the first things is you need to clear up what is true and what is false so people know what's the truth going forward. And that's how you really get elected.
All right. State Senator Brian Boquist, where can people go to find out more about your candidacy other than Ballotpedia? We got to go some other place than Ballotpedia. Tell me a little bit more about that, please.
As you know, I have the other side of the primary has an interesting thing going on. It has a former Republican, now is a Democrat, that's really a Republican with fringe on it, running against a state senator who has been held in clandestine, you know, budget operations for the last couple of years on that side. And so we've taken the tactic, rightfully so, because this is how we get elected in the past, of kind of pausing to see what's out there. I will tell you right now, it doesn't matter the search platform anybody has out there. All you need to do is type in Brian Boquist, and you're going to get at least 400,000 hits, and you can find us. And you can pick and choose from there.
That's an interesting way to talk about your candidacy, but you're an interesting kind of guy, Senator. I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully to have you come back and bring your verbal flamethrower again, okay?
Hey, Bill, I appreciate it. And again, your listeners need to, you know, get their ballot out, free postage, thanks to the Democrats. A lot of good candidates out there like Lathrop, Lithicum, Robinson. They need to vote, and they need to mail it today.
All right. Appreciate it, Senator. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
756 KMED KCMD.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive. If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
Josephine County Republican Party is proud to endorse Dr. Noah Robinson for the Oregon Senate. A principled man, Robinson is chosen and supported by citizens rather than lobbyists. Dr. Noah Robinson is also endorsed by Oregon Firearm Federation, Oregon Right to Life, and many honorable senators, including Dennis Linthicum, Art Robinson, and Brian Boquist. Republicans win when they don't compromise their principles. In this critical time in Oregon history, vote for the candidate who will make a firm stand for our conservative Oregon values. Vote Dr. Noah Robinson, the citizen's choice for honest leadership, who puts truth before personal gain. Unlike his opponent who has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from big pharma and lobbyists, Noah's campaign is funded by the people. Josephine County Republican Party reminds you to vote Dr. Noah Robinson for Senate, a leader to reform Oregon. Paid for by the Josephine County Republican Central Committee, ID 319.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and here's the deal people keep asking about. When will we have more F-150s, the payment of only $445 a month? The answer is right now. Lease a 2024 Ford F-150 crew cab for only $445 a month. Work, tow, play, haul in a new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month at Butler Ford. Nobody knows how to make a lease deal work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck at a low payment, like $445 a month on a Ford F-150 crew cab. Whew, I'm running out of time in this ad, but call and ask about the low lease payments we're having on our new Ford Escapes. Remember, Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. And Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford F-150. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, hybrid, and electric vehicle.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle cap cost of $42,884. On approved finance through Ford credit. Offer expires 6/3/24.
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Commissioner Barachecker from Joe County will be joining me in a few minutes. We'll talk about the history of, and the founding, really, of Boatnik, which, of course, is going to be next weekend. A lot of good stuff going on there. He's been a part of it for a long, long time. I know we kind of scratched the surface of that a little earlier with Dr. Powers on Monday, and why not? Why not? It's just a great event, and it looks like the weather's going to be great for this, too. And Josephine County, a lot in the Republican news this morning, and we'll give it an email of the day. Email of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. And if you've never gone there, great place, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. It's on Freeman Way. I think it's the Freeman Plaza, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. And they have a dental plan available if you don't have dental insurance. A lot of dental insurance kind of sucks, really, you know. Hey, you know, you pay this money, and then, hey, we'll cover $200 a year, which, you know, how much does it do? But check out their plan, and it provides a lot of better benefits than many dental plans, okay, or dental insurance, as it were, and very affordable, too. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And Linda writes from the Josephine County Republican Women saying, Bill, our U.S. Constitution Scholarship Committee raised $12,000 this year. Hey, that's pretty cool. And as she tells me, it was given to three Josephine County High School senior women at the May 8th award night that was held at the Grants Pass High School PAC Center. Thanks so much for reading this on the air. Appreciate your time and generosity. Well, I wanted to touch in on this, and here's what happened. And the Josephine County Republican women announced this. They did $12,000 awards. The $5,000 first place was Evie Hitchcock at Mountain View Academy, the homeschool program there. $4,000 scholarship second place went to Rebecca Guyman at Grants Pass High School. And the $3,000 third place went to Brenna. Brenna DeLange at Grants Pass High School. And what they were asked to write an essay on is, since the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the press, what is the effect of social media on our decision-making and our elections in the 21st century? Well, you know something, Linda, what's pretty interesting about that, I'd love to see those essays, given that essentially the government is now saying that we have to protect you from your free speech. That's, you know, remember we were talking about that with Rick Manning at Americans for Limited Government last hour, okay? Essay winners and their families are guests at this Tuesday's meeting at the JCRW. Okay, Linda, I appreciate you checking in. Okay, the email bill at BillMyersShow.com. We'll check in with Town Hall News here in just a moment, do a little open phones after Herman's talk on the history, and we'll get a lot done here between now and Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins at 9:06.
Life's busy.